Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today, inshallah, we will have the third class related to the topic depression and Islam. And the title of the class of today is the causes of depression from the Islamic perspective. Actually, in these classes, we will review depression according to the Islamic point of view. Alhamdulillah, over the two previous classes, we learned about the symptoms of depression and about the causes of depression from the research papers and from the medical point of view. I will summarize now these following statements so that, inshallah, we will evaluate the Islamic point of view after this. Actually, according to the research papers and the medical point of view, it was that, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, if someone will have the following statement, number one, I feel sad all the time and just don't feel like myself. Number two, I don't enjoy being with my friends or doing any of the things I usually love to do. Number three, I have been having a lot of trouble sleeping lately. Number four, sometimes I feel extremely lonely. Number five, I am not really interested in eating. Number six, I feel like I don't have any energy. Number seven, even after a long day, I still feel restless. Number eight, I am confused. I can't make any decisions. Number eight, I have continuous headache. No treatment is effective in spite of the fact that all my checkup examinations are normal. If you have any of these feelings, you will be diagnosed as having depression. Okay? And according to the medical paper, symptoms of depression in general are total disturbance of the body, soul, and mind. Regarding the body, the symptoms of depression are sleeping disorders, disturbance of eating habits, fatigue, or lack of energy, aches and pains. Regarding the emotional changes, they are continuous sadness with no clear reason, feeling of guilt, feeling of helplessness, loss of interest in everything. Regarding the mental changes during depression, number one, lack of concentration, trouble making decisions, thought of death, and restlessness. In conclusion, depression is a big problem because it is affecting all the systems of the body. Regarding the causes of depression, we learned last week that the causes of depression can be summarized as, number one, traumatic life experiences, either in the family or in the work. For example, death of a loved one, parent, husband or kid, divorce, having a sick child, loss of job, big accident, certain diseases, for example, cancer or heart diseases. Also, hormonal changes play a role as a cause of depression, for example, postpartum, premenstrual syndrome, and during the transition into the menopause. Also, there are genetic causes for depression, that is to say, depression which runs in families. All what we learn about depression is from the references related to the institutions of the mental health all over the world. And according to these institutions, treatment of depression is mainly antidepressant drugs, which are so many. But all of them, they have two common problems. Number one, tendency for addiction. That is to say, the patient will be totally dependent on the drug. Number two, different side effects, insomnia, fatigue, drowsiness. Also, some medical reports state that swimming and frequently doing housework is a solution for depression. But try to imagine that the depressed people will always remain in the swimming pools or be constantly doing housework, which seem to be not accepted logically. Because if you are depressed, how you will be able to swim or to do the housework? You know, it will be very difficult, okay, for someone who is depressed and who lost interest in everything. So in conclusion, today depression is the most common or the most widespread amongst the all psychological diseases in the world, including the Muslim countries. Trials for knowing the cause and treatment are continuous, but still there is no cure for depression. This is the most important thing. So actually, what is important is that still there is no cure for depression from the medical point of view. All what the psychologists and psychiatrists are trying to do is to suppress the symptoms of depression through the antidepressant drugs, in spite of the side effects of these drugs, and in spite of the tendency for addiction for these drugs. So, inshallah, today we will learn about the Islamic perspective of depression, so that inshallah we will get the benefit of the Quran and the Sunnah in relation to this major illness which is spread all around. Number one, we want to know that grief is something natural that human feel due to their common problems. But when grief increases and overwhelms a person, it becomes what is known as depression. This is the highest level of grief. It results in a person becoming controlled and dominated by their inner self, the result of which is despair and loss of happiness. It is usually accompanied by symptoms which are reflecting the feeling of distress of the inner self: headache, sadness, lack of concentration, inability to talk or take a decision, disorder of sleep, disorder of eating, that is to say the whole body and spirit illness. One may ask a question. We realize that these problems exist, but what are the reasons behind them and what is the solution from the Islamic perspective? The answer is that in some cases there are purely medical reasons behind depression which can't be ignored. Actually, basically we need to realize that Islam is not against the medical treatment or, you know, the medical evaluation or whatever related to science. But we must always use our mind when we evaluate, you know, how the medicine is, treating any problem. We must use our mind. So according to Islam, there are purely medical reasons behind depression. Islam agreed for this. These reasons can't be ignored. The most common cause is the frequent consumption of painkillers, drugs, and alcohol. Okay? And actually, if you look around you, you will notice that most of the celebrities are always suffering from depression because of alcohol and drug addiction. And you know Michael Jackson and, you know, those people, they are the ones, yes, subhanallah, you know, they are the ones because of the drug addiction or alcohol or addiction of painkillers, okay, they have depression. This addiction leads to the feeling that life is pointless without drugs and alcohol. And actually one of them mentioned this, why I have to live life if I am all the time on painkiller. You know, they can't sleep all the night, so they will have three times during the night painkillers. Yes, subhanallah, yes, this kind, this case is... sometimes it keeps them awake, sometimes it is not effective because they are already addicted. You know, the problem of these drugs is that you have to increase the dose continuously and you have to add new medications. Because your nervous system is already familiar with them, it is not effective. So they have to add it. You know, this is the problem of the antidepressant. So they may commit suicide to get rid of this drama. They suffer chemical changes in their brain because of the drugs and the pain medications. Another reason for depression is related to genetic inheritance. This is familial depression. There are some families where depression is there. It runs from one generation to the other. But let us now concentrate on some of the reasons of the depression, which can be clarified by the verses of the Quran and the Ahadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The meaning of this is that we will try to evaluate the causes of depression, which are related to the trauma of life events. Okay, which is actually the most common cause of depression is the trauma of life events, okay, regarding the family drama or drama in the work or big accident or, you know, severe illnesses, cancer and this kind of illnesses. These are all included under the, you know, the topic of, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, traumatic life events. Okay, so how Quran and the Sunnah evaluate these traumatic life events? Okay, actually, according to the Quran and the Sunnah, the traumatic life events are part of the nature of the worldly life. Okay, this is how the Quran and the Sunnah will help, you know, the believer to accept that the traumatic life events as a part of the worldly life test. Okay. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, now I will mention to you about the causes of depression from the Quran and the Sunnah. Number one, ignorance of the nature of the worldly life, that is to say, life is a test full of hardships and the trials. This is number one. Number two, the heart which is headless of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supposed to depression. Number three, lack of the belief in the divine decree and predestination. Number four, the effect of Satan. Number five, too much attachment to worldly matters, the desire for too much collection of wealth, and the desire for the best materialistic issues. Number six, sins lead to depression. So inshallah we will learn in full detail about the causes of depression, so that inshallah we will find the treatment for these causes from the verses of the Quran and the Hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now we will start to learn in detail about the most common cause of depression according to the Quran and the Sunnah, which is the ignorance in regard of the nature of the worldly life. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified the nature of the worldly life, that worldly life is a test for mankind, for everyone to prove the reality of their belief in Allah and their obedience to His rules. Accordingly, in the test of the worldly life, people will have calamities, hardships, and disasters as part of their test. This is the nature of the worldly life. This is the rule for every human being. That is to say, it has to be expected all the time, not to be evaluated as stress or punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? We will have now the proof from the Quran that the worldly life is a test where the human being will be exposed to hardships and disasters all the time. Okay, we will read now from Surah number 90, Surah Al-Balad, verse number 4. Allah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, laqad khalaqna al-insana fi kabad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, verily, we have created man in toil.
Okay, now we will read again from Surah number 84, verse number 6. In order to know about, you know, the nature of the worldly life from the Quran. Surah number 84, verse number 6. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya ayyuha al-insanu innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan famulaqih.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. O man, verily you are returning towards your Lord with your deeds and actions, good or bad, a sure returning, and you will meet the results of your deeds which you did.
Also, now we will read from Surah number 76. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Surah number 76, verse number 2. Bismillah. Yes, let us read 1 and 2. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. From Surah Al-Insan, Surah number 76, verse number 1 and 2. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هل أتى على الإنسان حين من الدهر لم يكن شيئا مذكورا إنا خلقنا الإنسان من نطفة أمشاج نبتليه فجعلناه سميعا بصيرا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Has there not been over man a period of time when he was not a thing worth mentioning? Verily, we have created man from nutfa of mixed semen in order to try him, so we made him hear and seer.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying that he created man in order to try him, and that Allah created us in في كبد in hardship. Okay. Also, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All these verses of the Quran are clarifying a very important fact, which is man's life is a process of continuous hardship that never ends. This is number one. Number two. Now we will clarify how man's life is a process of continuous hardship. At birth and before the baby sees the light, he undergoes a great deal of pushing and squeezing to the point near suffocation in its passage out of the womb. This is how the life of the human being started, with hardship. Okay? The pushing and the squeezing during delivery. Then a stage of great suffering follows. The newborn baby begins to breathe the air. It is the cry which she tells of the hard start. Life started with a cry, okay? Through which he inflates his lung with air for the first time. And if the baby doesn't cry, you know, at the time of delivery, this is very dangerous sign.
Yeah.
Because this means that he can't, you know, breathe air. Okay? So life started with a cry. Number three, every step or movement of adaptation is attended by suffering. If one watches the baby when he began to walk, you can feel the kind of effort required for such movement. Thus, affliction continue with teething, developing the ability to stand up, walking firmly, learning and thinking. Then the route diverge, and the struggle takes different forms. One person struggles with his muscles, another struggles with his mind, and a third struggles with his soul. One struggles for a mouthful of food or a rag to dress himself with. Another struggle to double or triple his wealth. One person strives to achieve a position of power or influence, and another struggle for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One struggles for the sake of the desires, and the other for the sake of his faith. Everyone is carrying his own burden and climbing his own hills to arrive finally at the meeting place appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Accordingly, suffering in this worldly life never comes to an end. Also, there are different forms of suffering which everyone may have in his life, and Allah mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, verse number 155. Actually, we clarified that since the minute of birth until the minute of death, man is struggling, okay? And this struggling at the beginning is the same for everyone. Baby trying to adapt with the life on the earth until he grows up and he has a mind to think and he has the freedom to choose. At that point, everyone is choosing his way of life, but still he is struggling because this is the nature of the life according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People are different in the goal for their struggling and for the achievement they are looking for. But in spite of that struggling, which is the nature of the worldly life, there are common trials for everyone to be exposed to according to the rules of the Quran. These common trials are mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, verse number 155. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولنبلنكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And certainly we shall test you with something of fear, hunger, loss of wealth, lives and fruits, but give glad tidings to the Asabirun, the patient.
Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning here, we shall test you. This is the clarification that the worldly life is a test. In that test, Allah is clarifying that it will be, you know, for everyone to have a loss of, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, at a time, loss of wealth, or hunger, or fear. This is or loss of lives and fruits, okay, which means the loss of wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that this is the nature of the worldly life. Everyone has to be ready for this kind of calamities because this is the nature of the test. Okay, so everyone must realize the nature of the suffering process which he must be exposed in the worldly life. The question is, what is the goal of all this suffering? Why we are exposed to all this suffering in the worldly life? The answer is in Surah Al-Ankabut, Surah number 29, verse number 2 and 3. We must realize, you know, all these facts so that inshallah we will be protected from its effect on our spirit. Okay? So now we will read from Surah number 29, verse number 2 and 3. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون ولقد فتنا الذين من قبلهم فليعلمن الله الذين صدقوا وليعلمن الكاذبين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Aleph, Lam, Mim. Do people think that they will be left alone because they say, we believe and will not be tested? And we indeed tested those who were before them. And Allah will certainly make known those who are true and will certainly make known those who are liars. Allah knows all that before putting them to the test.
So actually the goal of this suffering in this worldly life is that human being must realize that life is not fun. Instead, it is a test. Early exposure to suffering makes them more strong and able to tolerate hardships more easy. Number two, people in the worldly test must realize that they are accountable for what they actually do. This is an act of justice. Okay? So for the believers, now we will, you know, we are learning from the Quran, so we are with the believers, they must realize that belief is not a word we say. Belief is, number one, a reality that imposes duties. Number two, a trust that carries requirement. Number three, a struggle that demand patience. You know, sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in verse number 2, do people think that they will be left alone because they say we believe and we will not be tested? This is the problem of we Muslims. Okay, we are thinking that if I say I am a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, everything will be fine, okay, and Allah will take care of me, and I will be always showered by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not the rule of the Quran. The rule is that if you say, I believe, this means that you must be accountable for that word. That word, I believe, you know, will be your way to paradise. So you can't be in the paradise because of the word. Okay? You must realize that the belief is a reality, the belief is a trust, and the belief equals struggle. Okay? You are a true believer, so struggle to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, struggle to follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that you prove your belief. Okay? So So it is not enough that people should claim to believe. When they make this claim, they are not left alone. They are subjected to test to prove their sincerity regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all the aspects of their life. Not only in, you know, following a prayer and fasting, no, in their manners, in their halal earning, in their halal spending, and actually in obeying all the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So on exposure to hardship, it is you whom you believe that you are a true believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. Okay? What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is exposing the believers to hardships, okay? So that, for example, suppose now, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, my husband is having very good opportunity to earn a big amount of money, but not from the halal, you know, way. Okay, if I am a true believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, I must tell him we don't want this money. In spite of the fact, I am looking for a good house, I am looking for a better car, I am looking for all of this, but because I believe that to be a true believer, I am tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is a test from Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the opportunity to have wealth through, you know, haram way, okay, to test us. I will obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and forget completely about that money and refuse it completely. Because it is against the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believer must earn halal money. Even if I am in the need of the money, great need of the money, okay, but I will never touch it and I will never accept it because I know that I am living in the test of the worldly life and this is one of the hardships. To have the money, okay, Allah is giving us the opportunity to get the wealth, but be careful, it is not halal. You will obey Allah, or you will not obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will remember the test of the worldly life, okay, that in the worldly life it is not important to have the wealth. As believers, our goal must be the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that when we will be having the title of true believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, in reality, we are true believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you try to observe, you know, how we evaluate belief as Muslims, we evaluate belief regarding fasting and praying and recitation of the Quran. But regarding how we earn the wealth, how we spend the wealth, how we live our life, it is mostly far away from the way of the Quran. And this means that mostly Muslims are failing in the test of the worldly life because they don't realize the reality that they are continuously in the test. They must struggle. All the time I'm struggling. With everything I'm struggling because I must prove to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I am obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah is clarifying that, and we indeed tested those who were before them. Okay? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants everyone to prove his reality. Okay? So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. If you prove to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are a true believer, okay, paradise will be your final destination. Okay? So, you know, sisters, these points are very important for every one of us to know his reality. Okay? We Muslims, alhamdulillah, we all love to have the title of true believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this title equals to struggle for obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you struggle for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time, you will have the paradise. And the paradise is something maybe we can't appreciate it now while we are still in the worldly life. But inshallah, inshallah, we pray to Allah to make all of us, inshallah, having the paradise as our final destination. At that point, we will appreciate that what we did in the worldly life regarding struggling all the time was nothing compared with what Allah gives us in the paradise. Okay? We will read now from Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, verse number 214, to know about how much struggle we need to do in order to have the paradise as the final destination, and that we will always evaluate life as a test. full of hardships and calamities, so long paradise is our final goal. رحيم أم حسبتم أن تدخلوا الجنة ولما يأتكم مثل الذين خلوا من قبلكم مستهم البأساء والضراء وزلزلوا حتى يقول الرسول والذين آمنوا معه متى نصر الله ألا إن نصر الله قريب.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Or thank you that you will enter paradise without such trials as came to those who passed away before you. They were afflicted with severe poverty and ailments and were so shaken, but even the messenger and those who believed along with him said, "When will come the help of Allah?" Yes, certainly, the help of Allah is near.
You see, sister, this is how we Muslims, alhamdulillah, can live our life as a test full of hardships and trials while we are expecting these hardships and trials and while we are looking for the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us here that don't think that you can enter the paradise without trials, without being exposed to trials. Okay, regarding the people before you, they were afflicted with severe poverty and ailments, and they were so shaken. You know, this means that they were exposed to very severe calamities and disasters. And actually, this happened even to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most beloved human being to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never changed his rules for anyone, even for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so exposed to calamities and disasters to the extent that he and the people with him, they say, when the help of Allah will come. You see, this is the clarification of the great disasters and hardships and calamities, okay, which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those best Muslims were exposed to. Okay, so what about us? What we expect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah will change the rule for us because we are Muslims far away from the reality of Islam. Those whom they were the best sincere Muslims living at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, he was exposed to the greatest, you know, calamities and disasters. So every believer must expect that he will be exposed to the same, the rule of the worldly life. Alhamdulillah, this is very good for the spirit, because when I realize that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those best Muslims, they were having very difficult life. So for me, if I have, you know, problems, the loss of wealth, the loss of health, the loss of kids, whatever, this is the nature of the worldly life. I am ready. I will be sad, but I will not be depressed. Okay, this is the most important point. Okay, I will never be depressed. I will never be shocked. Why I will be shocked? Okay, if this is the nature of the worldly life, which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so exposed to great disaster, and the Muslims at that time, and they were calling on Allah, "Oh Allah, when the help will come?" But Allah is answering to them and to every Muslim, "Yes, certainly the help of Allah is near." You see, sister, this is alhamdulillah, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is always clear to the spirit when you realize the nature of the worldly life. As calamities are there, the mercy of Allah is near. So long you are a true believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obeying His commands. So in conclusion, it is the ignorance of all the above knowledge regarding the nature of the worldly life that may cause Muslims to react with severe sadness or with symptoms of depression when they are exposed to hardships and trials. Okay, this is number one. Today, actually, I'm discussing the causes of depression from the Islamic perspective. Inshallah, next class, we will learn about the treatment of depression from the Islamic perspective, not with the antidepressant or swimming and etc. The second reason for depression from the Quran is the heart which is headless of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is reflected by the headlessness of the tongue. This is an indication of the grief and misery. We will read now from Surah Taha, Surah Taha, verse number 124, to have the proof for that reason. Okay, that if your heart is away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are exposed to depression. Okay, Surah Taha, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'll tell you. Surah Taha, Surah number 20, verse number 124. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. But whosoever turns away from my reminder, neither believes in this Quran nor acts on its teachings, verily for him is a life of hardship, and we shall raise him up blind on the day of resurrection.
Actually, the meaning of this verse is that when human life loses its link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, depriving itself of his abundant grace, it becomes difficult, even though it may be materially good. This is the stress of being isolated of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the reassurance of His mercy. It is a stress that demonstrates itself in the form of worry, doubt and confusion, holding tight to what one owns and fearing unexpected loss, missing the feeling of comfort and pleasure. People don't feel true reassurance except when they place their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, holding tight to the bond with Him. The reassurance generated by the faith in Allah adds much to the life dimensions in length, depth, and expanse. Without such reassurance, life is nothing but a continuous misery and is far harder than what man suffered through poverty and deprivation. You know, sisters, this is the most important fact which every Muslim must learn and realize before it is too late, before spending the whole life to collect the wealth or to buy the houses and, you know, to have the prestigious qualification, while they don't have the link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Believing that through these materialistic issues, I can be happy and I can be the best human being, this is against the rules of Allah, the creator of everything. Okay, basically, if we Muslims believe that Allah is the creator of everything, and Allah knows everything, and Allah owns everything, and Allah controls everything, we will realize that either to follow the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this worldly life, okay, so that you can actually have a good life, or a safe life in this worldly life, and inshallah the reward will be the paradise, or you will be totally lost because you are not following the rules of the one who owns and controls everything. This is very simple equation. You know, Muslims need to realize it. If they realize it, okay, how they will break or cut the link with the one who owns, controls, and creates everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about us more than we know about ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the same surah, Surah Taha, that Allah knows our secrets and more than our secrets. I know my secret, but I don't know what is more than my secret. What is more depth than that? Allah knows it. I don't know it. So whoever, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, turns away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, he will never have a good life, because this is the rule which Allah mentioned in this verse. This is a Quranic rule. No one can change the rule of the one who owns everything, who runs everything. Allah is running the life with his rules. One of the rules, you are away from Allah, your life will be so difficult, you will be living all the time in sadness and in sorrow and in despair. Okay? So Muslims are living mostly in sadness, despair, and they are unhappy. When you tell them why you are not happy, why they are far away from Allah, they will tell you, because I lost my job. You see? It is not the loss of the job. try to get, you know, benefit of the Quran. Allah is saying, you know, whoever turns away from my reminder, okay, from the Quran and the Sunnah, or whoever forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make for him a life of hardship. So it is not the job, and it is not the wife, and it is not the house, okay? It is the link with the source of the mercy and reassurance and trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I believe that the source of the mercy, the source of the peace, the source of tranquility, the source of happiness, the force of acceptance is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah. If I believe in this and I make a link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will be all the time having these feelings in my heart, in spite of the fact I lost my job. In spite of the fact I am divorced. In spite of the fact I have a sick child. But still, I follow the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have the link with the one who is the source of all the good in the life. Whatever materialistic issues happen, this will not change the rule. What about we Muslims in the worldly life? In reality, we make the rule the opposite direction. We cut the link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, no problem. But still, I can be very happy if I have the big car. I can be the most happy person in life. If you give me now $3 million, you can't imagine. But you answer them, try to revise verse number 124. Yes, you will have the $3 million, but you will never feel happy. You will never feel, you know, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, peace. You will never feel tranquility. These $3 million will cause for you a lot of troubles. You will fear that my husband will be looking to have the money. My kids will be good with me because they want to take part of the money. If I buy the house, you know, everyone will have envy towards me. So I can't buy the very big house. I can buy a middle house. If I buy the Mercedes car 2010, I will be killed because of their eyes. So what can I do? Now the $3 million cause for me a lot of troubles in my life. You see, this is the wealth. Either people are so worried to show it because of the envy, or the people, you know, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, they will enjoy it and they will follow the shaitan. It is always a problem. Okay? But if you are looking for life of peace and happiness, the link with the one who is having the source of all of this, alhamdulillah. Okay, so Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, sisters, you can be poor, okay, but if you have the link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will make your heart full of acceptance. And you can be poor, but you can be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so long that I can find the food for today. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those whom they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will deviate your thinking and your feeling towards the feeling of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will never feel poor. Maybe all the people around you will look to you and say, how this poor person is so accepting her life and always smiling and always having hope and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how it affects the spirit. You know, happiness is related to the spirit, not related to food and to drink and to desires of the worldly life. But subhanallah, you know, people doesn't want to know this. Inshallah, I will mention this more in details, inshallah, when we learn about the treatment of depression from the perspective, Islamic perspective. The third reason for depression from the Quran and the Sunnah, it is mentioned in the Sunnah that sins lead to depression. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if a slave's sins increase and he doesn't have enough good deeds which would wipe these out, then Allah will affect him with grief and sorrow in order to wipe them out. Subhanallah. I am sure that most of the Muslims are not aware of this hadith. Suppose now I am doing a lot of sins. Okay, mostly. Mostly I am sinful. Okay? For example, I am not praying, I am not fasting, I am not giving charity, I am all the time backbiting the people, I am a liar, I am a cheater, whatever. Okay? Sins all the time. Like most of our friends. Mostly. Up and down. Okay? Around. Okay? So I don't have enough good deeds. Okay, to wipe all these sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will affect me with grief and sorrow in order to wipe them out. You see? So if the Muslim will realize this hadith, okay, they have to know the reason, for one of the reasons for their depression, being doing sins all the time. So if I realize this hadith, and now I have a phone call, Assalamu alaikum Mona, how are you? I want to talk with you about sister so and so and so and so for half an hour. Tell to myself, no, never, I will never answer this phone call. Because after this phone call, and try to imagine with me what is happening in our worldly life. When you will have this kind of phone calls, okay, someone will tell you the news of this one and her comment. And the news of that other sister and her comment. Okay? And you close the phone, you always feel very sorry. Sorry. And upset. And you don't know why. In spite of the fact you have all the news of the sisters in Houston. But you feel something in your spirit. Okay? And you tell to yourself, actually, this was happening to me before when sometimes I answer the phones. Now, alhamdulillah, I'm not answering most of the phones. Alhamdulillah. Okay? And you tell to yourself, now why I'm very upset? While I didn't do anything, I just listen. Listening is a sin. You have to know. Okay? Saying, talking is a sin, and listening is a sin. Okay? So if you realize that this half an hour, okay, I need a lot of good deeds to wipe out the sins of this phone call. Okay? And I don't have good deeds to wipe them out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make me to feel grief and sorrow for that, you know, sins which we do it. So, you know, we Muslims must know, you know, this reality. Our problem as Muslims is that we are totally ignorant about the basic knowledge of Islam. You know, and actually again and again, these are the knowledge which Muslims are supposed to learn. You see, not just to waste the time to learn about the fine details of something which is never practical in our worldly life. You know, just knowledge of the history, knowledge of the sharia, knowledge of the fiqh. What is the importance of this? If your spirit is dead, you are just like a book full of knowledge. When you evaluate some of the Muslims whom they consider themselves having knowledge, they are for me not more than a notebook. Full of knowledge. Then look for the spirit, dead spirit. Because the most important, you know, knowledge is not clear there. This is the knowledge of the Quran and Sunnah, which can make me having a light in my life. Now this, inshallah, will be clear. Okay, the fourth cause of depression from the Islamic perspective is being anxious and concerned about the future and the lack of the belief in divine decree and predestination. Some people worry about what the future holds for them, as they fear being incapable of dealing with the problems, disasters, and calamities when these calamities will arrive. Actually, you know, sisters, we discuss about the belief in the divine decree, and inshallah, in the treatment, I will include this, okay? But true believers, alhamdulillah, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only live today, because tomorrow is the unseen, or even after 1 minute is the unseen. And the unseen is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe I will die after 1 minute. So why I have to worry about the future if there is a possibility that I will die before 1 minute? You see, all the knowledge of Islam is connected together. Why to worry? Okay, as true believer in the divine decree and in the unseen, I never worry. Why to worry? Okay, I will worry about tomorrow, while maybe I will die tonight. You see, then we will collect money for tomorrow. Then we will fight for tomorrow. Then we will do for tomorrow. Okay, and tomorrow never comes. Subhanallah. This is, you know, this is the cause of depression. People are all the time worried about tomorrow. Suppose tomorrow my husband will be laid off. So I have to return to Egypt. So I don't have house in Egypt. So now I must look for the house in Egypt. But the problem is that the prices of the houses now are very high. So why I didn't buy a house in Egypt 10 years ago? Oh, I did a very big mistake. I will cry and cry and cry. This is how the people are living the worldly life. Wasting all the, you know, the most important precious thing in life, which is your time. Use your time to be your way to the paradise. Forget about tomorrow. Tomorrow is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah is the most merciful. None of my business. This is the business of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unseen is up to Allah, not to me. So why I have to think about after 1 minute? I have to take care of this minute, and in this minute I must obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that if I die after 1 minute, inshallah, I will have my way to paradise. But Muslims are living like this. No, no, no. Tomorrow and after 6 months and after 10 years. Yes, after 10 years, inshallah, everything will be all right.
Yeah. Inshallah.
In the grave. Inshallah. Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The sixth cause of depression from the Islamic perspective is Satan. Shaitan. Shaitan plays an important role in causing depression, as it whispers to mankind all the time to make them feel angry, to have envy, to feel sad, okay? Even it comes to people as they sleep and make them to have bad dreams, which make them to feel grief and sorrow and not being able to sleep. And all the above leads to depression. Actually, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said especially about Satan when it comes to people at sleep. And because of that, when you sleep and you wake up in the morning and you say, I have a bad dream, they tell you, don't mention it. It is from the shaitan. If you have a good dream, yes. If you have a good dream, you can mention it. But if you have a bad dream, don't mention it. It is from the shaitan. And whenever you will, someone has a bad dream at night and wake up, they will not be able to sleep again because the mind will be after that bad dream. You see, so this is the shaitan, how the shaitan is not allowing the people to sleep. And if you don't sleep for 3 or 4 repetitive nights, you will have depression. You see, subhanAllah. Okay, number 6, debts cause grief and anxiety and can lead to depression. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went one day to the mosque and he found Abu Umama, one of his companions, sitting there. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, O Abu Umama, why do I see you sitting in the mosque when it is not the prayer time? Abu Umama replied, it is due to anxiety and grief, which results from the debts that I owe. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, shall I teach you words which will take away your grief and by which Allah will help you repay your debts? If you were to say them, Abu Umama replied, yes, O Messenger of Allah. I think all the Muslims living nowadays, you know, with this, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, so the dua, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said every morning and every evening, say, O Allah, I will say it slowly so that you can write it. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from anxiety and grief, weakness and laziness, miserliness and worldliness, the burden of debt, and from being overpowered by men.
We're going too fast.
Again, slowly. Okay. I seek refuge, O Allah.
Okay. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from anxiety and grief, weakness and laziness, miserliness and cowardliness, the burden of debt, and from being overpowered by men.
Okay, so you must say it every morning and every evening. Okay, actually, Abu Umama said, I did this, and Allah relieved me my sorrow and anxiety, and helped me repay my debt.
So in Arabic, what is it?
Well, some of the reasons behind depression, and through this, one can see the connection between depression and straying away from the guidance and path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, committing that which Islam has prohibited and being attached to the worldly matters. Allah says, In Surah Al-An'am, verse number 125, a rule which proves all what we learned today. So now we will read from Surah number 6, verse number 125. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, in Surah 6, verse number 125, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فمن يرد الله أن يهديه يشرح صدره للإسلام ومن يرد أن يضله يجعل صدره ضيقا حرجا كأنما يصعد في السماء.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And whomsoever Allah wills to guide, He opens his heart to Islam. And whomsoever He wills to send astray, He makes his heart closed, constricted, as if he is climbing up to the sky.
Alhamdulillah. So Alhamdulillah, we all call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshallah to make our heart open to Islam and to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshallah, and to make the paradise our final destination. So Alhamdulillah, today we learn about the causes and the reasons of depression from the Islamic perspective, and inshallah next week we will learn about the treatment of depression from the Islamic perspective, so that inshallah we can avoid the antidepressant and their side effects and their addiction, inshallah. So now, inshallah, let us make the dua together. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa rahbihi wa sallim. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. Amen. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us, and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, our Lord, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after death. O Allah, our Lord, truly we have wronged ourselves and none can forgive sins except you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to forgive our parents and all the Muslims. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favor upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. InshaAllah, see you next.